Louise Mudrock will come and read our scripture. This reading is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and 13 and 14. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This ends the reading.
So as I said with the young people, it is Reformation Sunday in many churches. Obviously, those of you who grew up Catholic didn't exactly celebrate or observe this. But I've also had several of you who grew up Baptist or have been Baptist for many years let me know that you're not used to observing Reformation Sunday either. You think about it being a Lutheran thing. Well, I love history. I value history. So I like to use Reformation Sunday as a time to think about some aspect of our history as a church. And today I actually want to focus not on broader Protestant themes as much as some things particular about being Baptist and our way of being part of the Protestant expression of Christian faith. Last Saturday, a group of us spent several hours together in a visioning event. And our task was to take all these values we've been talking about over the last while and bring them down to three. Jan Butler said to Arlen, "Why does it have to be three?" And I think all of us had a little resistance to the process, maybe still have a little resistance to the having to bring it down to three core values. We started with 24 last Saturday, 24 descriptive words of values that we'd come up with through our cottage meetings. And through a series of exercises, forced choices, we were pushed to bring it down to three essentials that we thought captured who we are as a church right now. So the three we came up with were a nurturing community that seeks to welcome, support, and care for each other, and we might want to add other people and all of creation. We came up with Jesus' teachings of love, service, and social justice, and the four Baptist freedoms. Now, when I went home, Bill said to me, "Isn't that a cheat? Because the four Baptist freedoms is a way to say more than one thing." Yes, maybe it's a cheat. So, let's do a pop quiz. What are the four Baptist freedoms? Who can say right off the top of your head? Hold right up your hand. Bible freedom. What? Church freedom. Soul freedom. And that's S-O-U-L, not S-O-L-E. Okay, and what's the fourth one? Religious freedom on your bulletin cover. Okay, so these four freedoms were named by a man named Walter Sheridan, who was a Baptist theologian and historian, in a book called The Four Fragile Freedoms. It was his way of trying to capture some distinctives about our being Baptist and the ways we express our faith and practice. They're useful ways of talking about it. Religious freedom, I think we know, is the freedom that Baptists are most known for in our country's history. It was a Baptist preacher named John Leland, and Baptists generally, who influenced James Madison and convinced him of the importance of putting religious freedom, the separation of church and state, into the Bill of Rights. The story is that Madison heard Leland preaching from a jail cell that he had been thrown into because his teachings didn't agree with the state religion, which was Anglican or Episcopalian in the colony of Virginia. And Madison was curious and talked to him and learned more and became convinced that it was wrong that someone should be jailed or persecuted for their beliefs. So religious freedom is the separation of church and government, The point that no government has the power to impose belief on anyone. It's the right to believe or not believe. It's the freedom for all to practice their faith, whatever that might be. So Baptists are at the forefront of defending Muslims and Buddhists and pagans or whoever, and their right to hold their beliefs. But there's a lot more to our understandings of freedom than just that. And I want to share some of the sentences, some of the descriptions we came up with last week in our workshop together, describing the four freedoms. Members of First Baptist believe in the right and responsibility of individuals to relate to God and interpret Scripture for themselves, to belong to autonomous congregations independently of government restrictions or government support. We value freedom and embrace diversity in all forms as a manifestation of God's creative nature. Because we are Baptists, we believe that God's Spirit is alive in each of us, and there is no external authority that can claim our allegiance. We are guided by our freedom to approach God directly, to interpret Scripture independently, to stand on our own as local churches, and to resist the temptation to fuse church and religious interests with state or government interest. Diversity of thought is welcomed and encouraged, and we are each responsible for our individual faith. We have the freedom and the responsibility to delve deeply into the meaning of our existence on earth in the context of our soul, the Bible, the church, and religion. We're committed to each person's freedom to reach his or her own conclusions about their beliefs, to read and interpret the Bible for themselves, to honor how each one chooses to practice their religion or practice no religion at all. And we hold the notion that the local congregation is empowered to make its own decisions. We stand on these four fundamental freedoms, including interpreting Scripture, the liberty to work out our own beliefs around salvation and matters of the soul, freedom to worship on our own terms and govern ourselves with full autonomy. Instead of preaching dogma from the pulpit, our pastor leads us in following these freedoms, which lead us to each have to find our own individual beliefs for which we are responsible. First Baptist Church, although Bible-based, embraces our unique spiritual natures. It is a non-hierarchical community. We affirm each one's path to find their faith. We are free and supported in living our lives with God alone as our guide. These freedoms include an understanding that we each have the freedom to interpret the Bible, explore our relationship with God, and that our congregation, I like this one, has the right to run our church, and that the state has no business in our affairs. The four freedoms represent our commitment to autonomy of the individual and of the church community to claim and declare our faith and our practice. We believe in the freedom and capacity and responsibility of every person to relate to God, to interpret truth for themselves, the autonomy of our local church to guide our life together, and the freedom of religious belief and practice for all people. I wanted you to hear lots of voices, because I think the different voices, the different ways of putting it into words, capture the spirit of what we are claiming. It truly the point. My voice alone is not enough. My words and descriptions as pastor aren't sufficient. All of our voices, all of our understandings and our truths are vital to our life together as a church. So these freedoms are at the heart of our ability as a local Baptist church to choose to be a welcoming and affirming congregation, no matter what any other Baptist churches may say or do. In our region of American Baptist churches, not all churches are welcoming and affirming, but they all embrace the freedom of each local church to decide to guide themselves by scriptures and their own understandings and make those choices. So these freedoms are at the heart of our belief in diversity and inclusion. We honor each other's spiritual paths. We believe each of us has a unique and holy relationship with God, no matter our age or our education. We respect and value each person's insights and understandings about faith and scripture. Our freedoms help us embrace our diversity and know the greater unity that holds us together. Walter Sheridan chose to describe these four freedoms as fragile. He understood that our freedoms have to be protected, honored, and reclaimed again and again. Just as the freedoms that shape our democracy come under attack, the freedoms of our life of faith can be threatened by legalism, by authoritarianism, by the arrogance of some who think they alone are right, and by uncertainty and anxiety of others that make them vulnerable to giving up their freedom and letting someone else tell them what they should think and how they should believe. In these verses from the letter to the Galatians, Paul was writing to them, urging them to hold on to their freedom in Christ. Don't let anyone fool you into falling into a legalistic way of thinking, into some set of rules and regulations that prescribe your life of faith. The Galatians were former pagans. They were Gentiles who had become Christian, and they were confused about whether they had to conform to Jewish laws and practices. Paul had said, no, you don't have to worry about that. But other teachers came along after Paul and said, yes, you do. In their eagerness to do what was right, and their uncertainty and their anxiety, they were vulnerable to these teachers. But Paul, the one-time legalistic Pharisee, urged them to know their freedom in Christ. You've been set free, he said. You don't earn your place in God's realm by following laws. You don't earn God's love by certain practices. God's salvation is a free gift, given by grace, received by grace. That there is the great theme of the whole Protestant Reformation as expressed by Martin Luther, by faith alone, by grace alone. We have been set free from the power of sin, what Paul calls the flesh, our small, egoic self, our bondage to the powers of this world. We have God's Spirit in us and with us to guide us, to teach us, to show us the way. Paul says in Galatians, follow the guidance of the Spirit, and you will no longer do what the flesh desires. If you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law. If we live by the Spirit, let us follow the guidance of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, Paul writes, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, he writes, there is no law. We are free in Christ, but our freedom isn't licensed to do whatever we want. We've been set free by the Spirit to become our best selves, the people we were created to be, to become truly and fully human. We are free to grow in goodness. We are free to love. Commentator Alan Bream writes about it this way: the true meaning of love is found in the freedom to give yourself away. True freedom is what you get when you live your life in loving service to others. It's a paradox. The only way to truly find freedom is to give yourself away in love, and the only way to truly give yourself away in love is when you know you're free. St. Augustine said it this way: love and do what you will. Alan Bream says, I think Augustine was saying that if you truly love God and truly love others, then you're free to do whatever you want, because what you want will be, insofar as humanly possible, an expression of love toward God and toward each other. Free to love. To love God with our heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. True freedom does not lead to going our own way. Freedom leads us deeper and deeper into relationship with God and with each other. Freedom leads us into mutuality, into interdependence. Our freedom empowers us to be a community of diversity and inclusion, a community of honoring and respecting each other, a community of love where we are stronger together and each uniquely ourselves. Amen.